So what does it mean? You know, what does it mean to be a house of prayer for all nations? Well, first, let's just look at his house. Well, obviously, his house was the temple back then, but now it's the church of the living God. So it's the gathering of God's people wherever they are. But it's also us as temples of the Holy Spirit. Each of us individually are called to be houses of prayer. And so that's where it begins. It begins by saying, Lord, make me a house of prayer. I'm your house, and I want to be your house of prayer. And then he says, a house of prayer for all nations. Now, this is an important word because the nations, it's a Greek word, and it comes with a Greek word, ethnos, which means peoples, races, ethnic groups, governmental and political entities. You know, it's anything indicating anything other than Israel. So you can look at that as different races, different ethnicities. You can look at it as geographical nations. There are some 200 nations in the world, governmental entities. And then he says an interesting thing, a house of prayer for all nations. Now, that word for all has two implications. Number one, it's for all nations. It's for every ethnicity, every race, tribe, and tongue to come together as his church. In other words, there's no barriers in his church. There's no racial divisions in his church. There's diversity in his church. He's calling all nations. In fact, it's really prophetic, too, about what happened when he died on the cross for us, because the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, and he gave access to everyone to come into his presence. The only condition was through faith, repentance, and faith in Jesus. And so it's for everybody, and I believe God is wanting to bring barriers down in the church and bring the church together and heal the racial division. Now, we have tremendous division in our country, racially and politically across the board. But God is wanting to begin the healing process in the church. And so that's an important aspect. The other aspect of the for all is not only for all, you know, to be participants, but also for us to be praying for all the nations, that we're praying for the nations of the world, that we begin to develop a global perspective, and we're interceding for God's creation. And so much could be said about this. Jump ahead. The call to pray for the nations. One thing you notice when you're sensitized is up in the scripture, everywhere you look, you see it. And I just would challenge you as you begin to read the scripture, you're going to see this again and again, the heart that God has for his world. God so loved the world, that's all nations, that he gave his only begotten son. It says in Revelation that the time is going to come when every nation, tribe, and tongue, the nations of this world, become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's going to bring all the nations together. And as you look in the Old Testament, in Psalm 66:7, it says, he rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. We see his remarkable purposes for the nations as his inheritance. You know, in Genesis 22:18, it says to Abraham, through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. God wants Christianity, wants us as Christians, to have a burden, his burden, for the nations of the world. And I believe I'm inspired and encouraged by your work here, you know, down in Honduras. You have a sister church in, is it Ghana? You know, just having a global perspective, a global involvement. And in many ways, Ghana is like, that's like a mandate, a church mandate. God, and Honduras is a church mandate. It's a group of people that God has sovereignly given the light of Christ to invest prayer and intercession, and you're putting your prayers to feet and seeing things happen as a result of your prayers. And so that's, again, a model, and that's something God, I believe, wants to have open up in even greater dimension for your congregation, just the whole thing. You know, Matthew 24 says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached where? in all nations, in all nations, and then the end will come. And his choice is to begin it and birth it from a place of intercession and prayer. It's God's way of initiating his will on the earth. I already see it as a partnership. You know, it says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And God wants to invite us to rule from the heavenlies. I believe our prayers make a difference in the nation. That seemed like such a big thing. You know, I'm praying for a kitty that's lost. I'm thinking, I'm battling hard for that. How am I going to have any weight or any influence in the nations of the world? But, you know, mysteriously, we do. I think I've been doing ancestry research for my ancestry. Kind of inspired by Tom sharing with me when I met him at the retreat about what he's done with his ancestry. And my father's side was Scottish. And so I'm beginning to learn a lot about Scotland. And one of the things I never really looked at in depth was John Knox, who in the 1500s, he had a prayer, "Give me Scotland or I die." Here's one man's prayer for a nation, "Give me Scotland or I die." And Mary, Queen of Scots, said about him, he said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than I fear all the armies of England." Wow, thinking, there's a prayer warrior. And he prayed daily. He prayed that prayer every day. "Lord, give me Scotland or I die." And you know, when he died, the whole government had changed. It was a Christian nation. He founded the Presbyterians. Versus all the warfare going on at that time with the Anglican Church and with the Catholic Church. And you know, he brought salvation. And he met with Queen Mary, Queen of Scots, numerous times trying to lead her to the Lord. So one person can make a difference. I'll tell you, one person can make a difference. And so God has put on my heart, I told you the other night, you know, several nations that I pray for regularly. And God has given me various promises for the nations and given me a strategy to pray for the nations, which I'll share with you in a minute. So here's the world. Here's the world. And I want you to look at that map. Now, some of you may already have nations that you're praying for, maybe many in this room aren't, but I want you to set aside, even if you've had nations that you're praying for, I want you to set that aside, okay? And we're just going to open our spirit, and I'm going to ask God to drop into your heart a nation of the world to pray for. Now, it just may come to you, you may see a vision, you just may hear the name of that nation, but let's just take a moment. You can close your eyes if you want to, and God, I want you to burden each one in this room with at least one nation that you want them to pray for in the next week. In the name of Jesus. Now, whatever nation comes, the first nation that comes to you, that's it. Okay, what are the nations? What do you got? What? Venezuela. Peru. Australia. Brazil. Russia. Honduras. Cuba. Africa. Awesome. See, now, let me tell you something. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit giving you a nation to pray for. Now, you know, it says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. One of the things that in Psalm 2, it says, "Ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance." Now, I know it's prophetically speaking of Jesus, but that's a promise for us as people. I mean, obviously, as Light of Christ, you're asking the Lord to give you the nation of Honduras. You're asking the Lord to give you the nation of Ghana. And there's such power in that. And what happens is when you begin to have a burden of a nation on your heart, what I like to encourage people to do is begin to follow the news on that nation. What's happening in that nation? God dropped Madagascar into my heart a couple years ago, just out of the blue. One day I was just saying, "Lord, give me a nation to pray for today." And God, Madagascar. Well, it turned out a young man from our church he ended up going there for a 6-month study thing. So he was my feet on the ground in Madagascar, and he began to feed me information by email, what's happening in Madagascar. I began to read up about Madagascar, and I began to carry burden. And what I do is for the nations I'm praying for, I subscribe to Google Alerts. In Google, you can, if you have a Gmail account, you can subscribe and you can tell them what they want you to send. They'll send you all the news items on that topic every morning. You can set, like at 6 a.m., I get information on Israel, I get information on Tunisia, I get information on Turkey, I get information on Eritrea. You know, I get information on Azerbaijan, information on Israel. So God, you know, I get all, so I'm reading the news every day about these nations. And as I'm praying, I literally see answers to my little measly prayers that I'm praying in Blaine, Minnesota. I see God answering prayers for those nations. And so there's a great book, too, if you're into a book. It's called Operation World. It's they publish it updated every couple of years, Operation World. And it's got every nation of the world. It's written by a Christian organization. It's got every nation of the world. Got all the information about each nation, what's happening with the church in that nation, what's happening politically, what the needs for prayer are in that nation. So that kind of helps, too. If God gives you a nation, you know, you can go online, too, and research it. But just to research and say, what's happening in that nation? God, how would you have me pray for that nation? So there's something to watching the nations, looking and seeing what God is doing in the nations. Five questions that I like to use when I'm praying for a nation. How are they relating to the church? Because we know that it's the Christian witness in that nation that's going to mean that nation's salvation ultimately. And so is it a persecuted church? Is there freedom? You know, it begins to know how to pray for the church. How do they relate to Israel? You know, but God says, those who bless Israel will be blessed. Those who curse Israel will be cursed. You know, Azerbaijan is friends with Israel. They have a mutual relationship, an economic exchange. They're like a partner with Israel. Azerbaijan, former communist nation. Turkey, I've been praying for now, just buried the hatchet over, you know, the Marmara incident several years ago where Israel blockaded a ship from Turkey coming in and there was people killed by the Israelis on that ship. And Erdogan, the president of Turkey, cut off all relationship with Israel, and now they've just kind of buried the hatchet, and they're starting to make some economic deals over gas. Israel has an unbelievable supply of gas in the sea off the coast, natural gas. And so, you know, Israel has a great relationship with India. So there, you look around the world and you see there are some nations you'd never dream were, you know, friends of Israel that are. And so how do they relate to victims of injustice? You know, God has a heart for the poor, the needy, the widow, the orphan, the alien. You know, how do they relate to them? And I've been praying for Israel because Israel has Eritreans and Sudanese refugees there who they've been kind of locked up in a refugee camp. And Israel needs to hear the word of the Lord to them, you know, to care for the alien. So I've been praying for Israel. And there's some things happening there in Israel in that regard. Where does it appear that the Antichrist principalities and powers are forming battle lines in the spirit? You know, when communism fell in, when was that? Was that 89? Yeah, 89. When, you know, that whole thing disintegrated and the power of the communist world seemed to just, you know, dissipate. I was just thinking to myself, where are all those demons going? All those demons that have been driving and the principalities and powers that have been giving authority and influence and power to communism, what ism are they going to go in next? Where'd it go? Islam. You know, that. And now the Islamic world. You know, here Russia's fighting in Afghanistan for years. In fact, we had a prayer meeting way back when Russia was trying to take over. Remember they invaded Afghanistan? Some of you maybe aren't that old, but they invaded Afghanistan and they ran into a buzzsaw just like we've been in a buzzsaw there for the last X number of years in Afghanistan with the Taliban and, you know, all the jihadis and stuff. And we were praying one day, we had a prayer meeting, we were praying for Afghanistan and God showed us a vision. We saw the Soviet flag trying to be nailed down, covering on the perimeter, covering the nation of Afghanistan. And it wouldn't stay down, and something in the spirit came and ripped the flag off, and it blew away. That's exactly what happened. So that's how we prayed. For whatever reason, we prayed according to what the Spirit gave us, and we prayed for Afghanistan to be free from the Russian invasion, and they pulled up stakes and left. So prayer for the nation does make a difference. And, you know, as you begin to look at some of these things, about where are the battle lines? Well, we know Iran, I mean, obviously, Libya. I mean, there are so many different sort of jihadi hotspots in the world today. Pakistan, I mean, you could go down the list. And then where is God at work in all this? God, I want to see what you're doing in these nations because you love the nations. You love the people of Iran. You love the people of Libya, God. You love the poor Syrian people. Lord, Muslim and Christian alike. God, these victims of war, victims of terror. God, you love them. And so, you know, we begin to pray, be informed as to how to pray. You know, and it says in 1 Corinthians 14:15, what shall I do then, Paul says? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. God wants us to pray in the spirit, but also with understanding. That's why doing research and studying about the nations you're praying for is okay. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting understanding, but then you take that understanding and you allow the Holy Spirit to illuminate it and show you what it means. It's like gives you the interpretation of what you're learning about it. And so that becomes another great resource is the CIA has a website called World Factbook. If you just want to get the lowdown on any country in the world, go to World Factbook. Real interesting website. It gives you pretty in-depth information about every nation in the world and what is happening there politically, what's happened there, you know, across the board. So, is God stirring your heart to pray for a nation? I think as you begin to pray, Lord, make me a house of prayer, I think you're going to begin to develop more of a heart that God wants to give you to pray for the nation. So, as I close, I'm just going to go through, how do you pray for the nations? I call it the ABCDEs of how to pray for a nation. And I use this, every time I pray for a nation, I use these five things. This is, and when I pray for Turkey, pray for authorities. What does it say in 1 Timothy 2:1-2? First of all, prayers, intercession, petition, thanksgiving should be made for all men, particularly those who are in authority, for kings, that we might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. For this pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So praying for the authorities, I think to find out who the rulers are in that nation, who are the influencers, and to pray for them by name. Every Thursday, I pray for our president. I bless our president. I bless the vice president. I pray for the justices on the Supreme Court. I pray for my senators, my representative. I pray for the cabinet. I go through name by name every cabinet member in Obama's administration. I pray for the National Security Council, all the members of that. I mean, I pray for all the leaders. Now, I'm a nerd that way. Nobody has to be like that. But I mean, I'm just saying there's a way to bless and pray your blessing on the people who are ultimately going to make, hopefully, for peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And so praying for authorities. Secondly, we need to pray for the church. We need to pray for believers. We need to bless the church. In fact, you know, Paul says, you know, a number of places, it says, first of all, you know, do your good unto the household of faith. You know, there's something about the household of faith that we want to give special attention to, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's definitely a key thing for the believers. John 17 is a great prayer to pray for the believers. In fact, in my book, there's seven key points of from John 17, how to pray for family and believers, how Jesus prayed for them. And then contrition, just like the prayer we read in Nehemiah, we need to confess the sins of the nation that we're praying for. God, I pray for Turkey. I ask God to forgive Turkey for the Armenian genocide back after the First World War that's never been resolved in Turkey. Turkey's never acknowledged the slaughter of Armenians and many Christians and many Greeks. They've never acknowledged it. It's been a point of contention. And the 100-year anniversary that just happened, I think, this year or last year, and big issue in the world over that. So, and I confess the sins. All seven of the, you know, I've got a daughter and son-in-law in Turkey. My son-in-law is Turkish. All seven of the churches in the book of Revelation were in Western Turkey. All seven. Just think, the glory of the early church was in Turkey. And so, which gets me to the next one, destiny. Pray for the destiny of that nation. I believe Turkey has a destiny in God. You know, the seven churches were once, God returned Turkey to its original glory. You know, there's something about the destiny of influence. The heart of Christianity was in Turkey, the early church, the first 400 centuries. That's where the heart of Christianity, the oldest church in the world, is now a mosque, the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul. You walk in there and this is a church that's built in 400 AD. And they got all the Islamic symbolism on there. Now, some of the icons are still there, you know, on the walls. But you know, you think, God, restore your glory. And so kind of, you know, I believe the United States, we're one of the things is, you know, the Statue of Liberty is such a beautiful picture. You know, we're a nation proclaiming freedom. We're a nation that's meant to be a light to the world. You know, we've sent missionaries all over the world. You know, the light of Christ is meant to shine forth from our nation. And, you know, just praying for God's original intention for this land. And then evangelism. Obviously, ultimately, everything is about the spread of the gospel, the spread of the kingdom of God. This gospel of the kingdom will preach in all the world, and then the end will come. So those things are things that you can very practically use to pray, because you wonder, well, how do I pray for a nation? Where do I even begin, you know? You can take these five things, authorities, believers, contrition, destiny, evangelism, and just very easily pray for a nation intelligently in terms of what you do. Well, we'll just pause. Maybe you'll just play a little music again, Paul, if you want to. And then just kind of before we leave, I know there's a lot of stuff that I shared with you, but I always like to say, you know, there's at least one thing that God wants you to take out of this session that you're going to do something about. You know, so as you identify, what's that one thing, God, you've spoken to me? Every time I go to a conference, I always, at the end of the conference, I always write down just as the Lord, you know, just reminds me, what are the key things I've heard? And then I ask, Lord, you know, which ones are the really things you want me to do something about beginning today? You know, what do you want me to do about it? What's God saying, and what do you want me to do about it? And so let's just take a moment, worship song as we close, and for you just to kind of have some time with the Lord just before you head out the door.